It's time now to welcome a very special guest from first century Israel.
No, my name is Cleopas, and I want to tell you about the most remarkable day, the day that changed everything. Well, it didn't start off a very remarkable day. It didn't start off a very good day at all. It started off a very dark day, a day full of hopelessness and despair. Jesus was dead, you see. The man that we'd followed. The man that did and said such amazing things, such marvelous things. He was supposed to be the one that would change everything. We believed he was the Messiah. We believed he was the promised one, the son of David, the son of God. We believed he was going to deliver us from Rome. We believed he was going to establish God's kingdom right here on earth. But the authorities had other ideas. The chief priests, they arrested him. And the Romans, they crucified him. Now that happened just before the Sabbath. So we were all huddled in homes. We were petrified. We didn't move. We couldn't travel because we'd attract attention to ourselves. But anyway, just as the Sabbath ended, some women came back. They'd been to visit the tomb. They came back so excited, and they were babbling, as some women do. They were babbling about angels or something. Apparently, these angels had told them that Jesus wasn't dead, that he'd risen, that he was alive. Of course, we all knew that was foolish. Most of us had seen Jesus die on the cross. We'd watched him die. Some of us had even helped them take down his body and laid him in the ground. He was dead, all right. No, we just assumed that they were overcome with emotion and grief, that they must have hallucinated or something. Emotional types do tend to have an overactive imagination. Us men knew that the dead stay dead. Especially those that have been in the ground for 3 days or more. That's when the soul leaves the body. Mind you, there was that one time that some of us saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, and he'd been in the tomb for 4 days. So maybe we should have been more prepared to believe those women. But the truth is, we were frightened. We'd lost everything. And we were worried what was going to happen next. Would the authorities come for us? Anyway, me and the wife, we decided not to hang around to find out. We left Jerusalem straight away. On the road to Emmaus, I was chatting to my wife and we were talking about what happened. We talked about Jesus. We talked about all the things that had happened that made us so devastated. And we met a stranger. He overheard us talking and asked us what we were talking about. Do you know what? He didn't seem to know what happened. I was amazed. I couldn't believe it. Where's he been all weekend? Everybody knew that the prophet Jesus had been killed. Everybody knew that he was betrayed by a friend. That the temple guards had arrested him under cover of darkness. That they'd handed him over to the Romans. That the crowds had begged Pilate to crucify him. These are the same crowds that just a week earlier were waving banners and singing to Jesus, welcoming him as he rode into Jerusalem, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Begging for now for his crucifixion and death. And now Jesus was dead. And all our hopes had died with him. We even told this stranger about the foolish women who'd been to the tomb and said that they'd seen angels and that said that he was alive again. We just thought, actually, the most, to be honest, some of us did actually go down and take a look for ourselves. And it was true, the body was gone. But we just figured that actually that was probably either the temple guards or maybe the Romans that had stolen the body in order to humiliate us and it caused us even more grief. But that stranger, he gave us a queer look and he rebuked us. He called us foolish. He said we were so slow to believe. And he started to teach us from our holy writings. And beginning with Moses and working his way right the way through up to Malachi, he explained to us that the Messiah had to die. He had to be rejected. But that God would raise him up. That he would be victorious and bring God a lot of glory. No, as he talked to us, as he explained the scriptures, our hearts burned within us. We could have listened to that stranger for hours, but it was getting late and we needed to find somewhere to rest the night. The stranger acted like he would go on, but we persuaded him to stay with us. The truth is, we just wanted to hear more of what he had to say. So a little later that night, after we'd rested a bit, we came together to eat. And the stranger takes some bread and he breaks it and he smiles at us. And then it's like our eyes are opened. Why didn't we see it on the road? It was Jesus. And then I was overcome with emotion. Tears started rolling down my cheeks. I just wanted to hug him. I wanted to hold him. But before I could do or say anything, Jesus had vanished. Well, was it Jesus? Or was it just a ghost? It seemed pretty real on the road, but how could that be? Anyhow, it was dark. Not very safe to travel, but we couldn't contain ourselves. We just had to pack our bags and get straight back to Jerusalem to tell our friends. Yeah, you know, they probably think we were foolish too. They'd probably say we were mad. But we had to find the other disciples and tell them. Jesus is alive. Well, when we got there, the place was an uproar. There was a lot of excitement. Apparently, Jesus had even appeared to Peter. And they were all eager to hear our story. So we gathered around and sat down to tell them. But before we finished the story, Jesus appeared in the room, even though the doors and windows were locked, and he says, "Peace to you." And we're all staring in disbelief, thinking, is this a ghost or is this really Jesus? And he must have read our minds or something, because he says, "Reach out your hands and touch me. Put your hands where the nails went in. Touch here in my side where the spear pierced me." I tell you, ghosts don't have flesh and blood, and he was flesh and blood. You can imagine our excitement. We didn't know what to do. Our whole world had been turned upside down. Or right side up now. Everything seemed possible now. Suddenly all fear had left us. Nothing else mattered apart from the fact that Jesus was alive. It didn't really matter if the temple guards came to arrest us. It didn't even matter if the Romans wanted to crucify us, because death is not the end. It was just the beginning of eternity. God had raised Jesus to life, meaning that all the things that Jesus had told us about him was true. God really loves us, and we're going to live with him forever. Nothing else matters now. That has become the most important thing in my life. That's the pivotal truth around which my whole life revolves. That's why I'm here this morning, coming 2,000 years through history, to tell you. He's risen! Well, I'm not sure anybody believes that. He's risen! He's risen! Hallelujah, he's risen! That changes everything, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, sorry, I've broken the spell now. It's me, really. It's not some 2,000-year-old Cleopas. That may look 2,000 years old these days. But it's the truth. That's the truth, isn't it? That day changes everything for us if we really believe it. If we don't believe it, we're wasting our time. Really. But if we believe it, it changes everything. Everything. You know, up to that point, it was a good story. But if it ends on the cross, it's a tragedy. It's amazing that Jesus would tell us that God loves us and we're to love our enemies. But if they end up killing us, that's just a tragedy. If it ends in death, it's foolish, isn't it? To love your enemies, it just ends in death. It's wonderful to go around healing the sick and raising the dead. But if they're just going to die again, well, you're just delaying the end a little bit. But the resurrection, wow. The resurrection changes everything. You know, and what do we make of the fact, what happened in those early days? I don't know if you believe in Jesus or not. I think most of us here do. But if we, when you think about it, it's the only thing that makes sense. What caused a terrified bunch of uneducated men and women to turn the whole world upside down to such an extent that 2 billion people these days call themselves Christian or from Christian cultures? What could have made them do that? Surely not the authorities still in the body. And the authorities would have reproduced it immediately if they had, just to crush that small sect, that growing sect. Well, maybe you say that Jesus didn't die. Maybe he pushed the stone away and appeared, visited his disciples for a couple of days or weeks and then moved on. But really and truly, that doesn't explain it. Someone would have spotted him somewhere else. And would those few men and women, huddled in fear, would they then have risen up? Would they have given their lives to a lie? Nothing. When you think about it, really and truly, the only thing that makes sense of the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection is that it actually happened the way the Bible says. And if it is true, the only plausible explanation, then it changes everything for us. It puts everything in perspective. Our whole lives need to revolve around that one truth. It sets us free. And you know, we don't face the temple guards. We don't face the Romans, but we do face things. We face sickness, we face loneliness, we face depression, we face a loss of work, we face being excluded, we face isolation, we face being laughed at, we face being misunderstood. All kinds of things that we face need. But actually, if Jesus really rose from the dead, then we have eternity with a loving Father. That's amazing. There is endless hope for us to live with. The only question is, what will we choose to believe? My own testimony is, you know, that the reason we dance, it looks a bit stupid when an old man dances, but the reason I dance is because Jesus is amazing. To know God's love is the best thing in life. When you know that you're loved by the maker of heaven and earth, joy fills your heart. It's irrepressible, uncontainable. And yeah, you know, we face some tough stuff. But Jesus has faced tougher stuff and promises to be with us. I want to finish this morning, I want to finish my moment with you by reading out some of the things that Jesus said to us on the last night he was with his disciples. And I just want us to sit with our eyes closed and listen to what Jesus says to us, because what Jesus said to them, he says to us. And we had the benefit of hearing them in the light of the resurrection, so we know they're true. It wasn't just a nice story. Jesus wasn't just a good man. He was the Son of God raised so that God would vindicate him and it would prove that he was the Son of God. So will you do me the favor of closing your eyes for a moment? Let me read to you the words that Jesus speaks to us. These are words that he said that very night. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you also may be. And you know the way where I am going. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these she will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with her or him. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. So that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have trouble. But take courage. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your encouragement to us. Thank you for laying down your life for us. Thank you for the promise to be with us in this world to help us overcome the troubles that we face. If we're facing trouble this morning, let's just embrace that truth again. Or maybe for the first time, to know that Jesus is with you and me. Let's take seriously what Jesus repeated again and again that night. If you ask the Father for anything in my name, I will do it. Let's give ourselves again to asking him. Or maybe give ourselves to him for the first time, to ask him, to talk to him, to ask him to do stuff, and to stand back and see what wonderful things he does. I could tell you story after story of the wonders that he's done for me through things that I've asked him for. And above all, let us obey his commandment, that new commandment, which is really an old commandment, which is to love one another, the fruit that he's looking for, to prefer one another. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the wonderful news of the cross, for the better news of the resurrection, which does indeed change everything. Amen.